Okay, are we on? Yes. Good evening to each one. What a tremendous joy to be here. So thank you. Thank you, young people, and everyone, for that singing. That was very exciting and encouraging to me. I'm very thankful for the effort that was put into that. So, lest I forget, to the godly speakers and moderators, I think I'll just read this. It was laying up here on the pulpit. We want to express our thanks to all of you brothers who labored in the Word to feed us and to share your godly wisdom. Our hearts are challenged, encouraged, and inspired, and even spilling over because we can hardly wait, we can hardly hold it all. God bless you for serving us and living out the Christian life before us. We want to go home now with the good seed in our hearts and bring forth fruit for His glory. Some very thankful students. The Lord bless you for that. I think we should just start with a word of prayer here. And I'm trying to think, Andrew, would you come up and pray for me? Since you're right up here.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we bow before you this evening. Thank you for this time we've had together here this week. Pray that you just help us to use that, what we've learned here this week, and I pray that you bless Brother Aiden tonight as he speaks, and help us all to have open ears. Just bless us this evening. I pray this all in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. I just want to say to you young people, I feel like we have an outstanding group of young people here that were very unworthy of, and just feel grateful to you parents for all that you pour into their lives. I know that things don't just happen. We know that God has blessed your efforts here, it looks like, and we're just can't help but just be grateful. Thank you, young people, for the zeal, the openness, the seeking after, the longing that just blesses my heart through and through. So if you'll allow me this evening, we have a bit of a different word tonight than normal. And this is something that's been actually probably rolling around in my heart for 3 months. And yet, I'm not sure if it's time to bring it out, but we'll do that here tonight. Someone was gracious enough to draw a picture for me, which we thank. That'll just help communicate a little bit. As you see this, it almost seems like these two may not go together, and yet somehow I think they do. We'll put that in a place where most can see it anyway. So this evening, the Jones family represents a set of values, a set of rights, a set of affluence, and then we have the cross beneath it. I just want to assure you young people here tonight that, hear my heart. I'm just blessed that your lives and the values, and I'm not really speaking into lifestyle. I'm not really wanting to be preachy or lay down the law or be condemning in any way. I do have a burden that as we live in an affluent society, our blessings, our privileges can slowly move into rights that we're living for, rights that we're pursuing. rights that take up things in our lives that God would rather replace with something better. Is that possible? Are you all following me? And the Jones family tonight is a simple little title that I trust will go with you and that you'll remember. But it's a family that always that has it all together. You know how they say, keep up with the Joneses? You ever hear that? You're following with me? And somehow tonight we're just reminded how our blessings, our privileges, we have many, many of them. And if we don't watch, somehow they slowly transfer into rights. Rights that we start living and fighting for. Rights that replace things in our life that God has better for. So if you'll just bear with me tonight for a few moments, I'm not wanting to be preachy or lay down the law or attack anyone's lifestyle in that way. But I'm wanting us to remind us of the blessings that God has given us. We live in a very affluent land. We visit other countries. And we don't find anywhere that we have the affluence and the blessings and the things that we do in our country. And that's okay. But can we hold them loosely? The other burden that I have, I'll just share here, is that we don't realize it, but we can only hold so much in our cup. And once our cup is full, once our arms are full, once our life is full, God can't put any more in. And so it's up to us sometimes to voluntarily lay some of the things down that are of lesser value so that God can put better things in that place, to do an exchange, as we've been hearing some about. But I'm sure everyone here tonight has heard of the Jones family. They seem to have a global ministry, and they impact many people's lives. The Jones' sphere of influence is remarkable when you stop and think about it. Most everyone has them for neighbors. The Joneses influence many things. Many things that are bought, especially new items, have been influenced by the Joneses because we see someone else that has it. For me, I guess I'm out of the loop, but there's so many things that show up and I didn't even know they were available. But we see them when someone else has them. The Jones family seems to keep track of sales and when items are on sale. You know, I'm not going to be able to share all of my heart into words tonight, but the Jones family, that they represent a lot that we have all turned our back to, and I'm grateful. I don't want to be misunderstood. I just want to remind us tonight that that young people, I guess my burden has been, there's been so much that God has done for you this week. And if we go home, there's a good chance the Jones family is going to be in our neighborhood. And I don't think you're going to be going down and joining them or anything. But somehow, if we start thinking about how they live and our mind goes to them, and it won't be long that they'll influence our lives possibly in some way. But the Jones family it's amazing how many trends and gadgets and comforts and conveniences can be traced back to the Jones family. The Jones family spends a lot of time trying to understand what all they're entitled to, and if they're entitled to it, they make sure they get it. It's hard to find them without the privileges and rights that they're entitled to. And when we get into rights, we'll hear a little bit later. Little thought is given to the discontentment and the idolatry that is prevalent in the Jones family. We mentioned them in passing lightly, but when we stop and think what all they represent. The Jones are convenient neighbors. They rarely bother anyone, but they sure do come in handy at convenient times. Sometimes when you hear the words, "Come on, Dad, where have you been? Everyone else is doing it. Why can't we?" The neighboring Jones family comes to the rescue again. Everyone else has it. It seems like the Jones have one on us again. They're one ahead of us. The Jones families, they're influential. If someone else is doing it, it must be okay. If we see someone else doing it, it must be okay. But what are the principles that are influencing the Jones family? Scripture here out of 1 John. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And I know, dear young people, this love is not in you. I don't believe it. I don't believe it is. That's not why I'm sharing these messages tonight. I want this to be an encouraging. I want you to remember. I want you to remember the blessings and the privileges that we have. And I want you to hold them loosely as you seek God. And I want God to always be able to replace those things with something better if He brings it. But I don't want these things to turn into rights and to things that we fight for. There's so much that can be said. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We all know whose kingdom this world is, and we all know the principles that the Jones family represents. So I think we'll continue going here tonight. The children of Israel, it's in us. We feel entitled so quickly. The children of Israel, they were entitled. They were warned to not pick up more manna than they need. What did they do? Many of them just picked up extra. What happened? It became wormy. So young people, if God shows you, if there's things in your life that are wormy, God has better. He has living bread. He has something better to put in your life than wormy manna. That's my heart here tonight. And if nothing else, the Jones family will surely remind us of our many blessings, brothers and sisters. We are very blessed, if nothing else. May we thank God tonight for what we have. So I do want to go in here and just share things to help take us back to remember our blessings and some of what we have. If you'll just allow me a little bit. The right to a normal, comfortable standard of living. You know, we have that right. The way God made us, we can pursue and set our lives up so that everything is just right and comfortable. And we have that. As 1 Corinthians says, have we not power to eat and drink? We do. To answer your question, Paul. How important is our standard of living to us? We all have the right to a comfortable, slightly above average standard of living. How important is the kind of bed I sleep on? Or whether I have a bed? Or whether I sleep on the floor? Or on a board? Does it matter? Does it matter if we eat with our fingers? Or with a wooden fork? How important is silverware to me? You know, many people don't have fancy dishes and silverware in much of the world like we do. You know, there's some places that you go to, and when they get out what they have, it would be embarrassing to many people in America to share what they have. We are blessed, and I'm not attacking those blessings. I'm wanting us to thank God for them. And I'm wanting those blessings to continue to bless us and not get between us and God. It doesn't matter whether I sit on the floor or a chair, or whether I sit on a stump or a board or a block or just stand. It doesn't matter that many families are dirt poor in this world. Many don't have enough even for one meal a day. Not only do we have the privileges of good meals, most of us have food preserved for months ahead. Most of the world doesn't enjoy these privileges and blessings. Just again to remind us of the many ways we have of preserving food, canning, freezing, freezers. Again, how important is it what I eat? Many of us, when you here in America, we have good food. Sometimes there's things brought that you need the Lord's blessing to eat it. Our name brands food a must. Doesn't matter whether I eat rice or potatoes or liver. Is it okay for me to sit down and have a tea and a moldy piece of bread for supper? many places this is all they have. Is it okay if the bread is hard and stale and flat and burnt and bland and crusty? Can I eat my bread plain with no butter or jelly or honey? You know, as I said, I think some Americans would be insulted if they went to visit some of some people in native countries. And these people brought out what they had. The Americans would be offended. That's the culture we live in. I'm not saying, I know we wouldn't hear, but I'm just reminding us of the privileges and the blessings we have. Would I be okay with taking a cold shower every day? Have any of you ever had a cold shower? Praise the Lord. Some people live that way. They have nothing but cold water. In some places, the water is limited. Is it okay if I don't have shampoo, my favorite brand, or am I okay with just a piece of hard soap to clean up with? Is it okay if I don't have a washcloth or a towel? I just drip dry when I'm done showering. Some places, when you go there, there's no towel. I've been there and I've got done showering and there's no towel. These are all privileges and blessings that we have that we don't think about. Am I okay to put the same clothes on after I'm done showering? Is it okay if my food has maggots or worms or moth or mold or wigglers or something in that I need to pick out and set aside? Is that okay? That can be tough. We would never eat that in America, would we? But some places, they don't have much choice. The right to health care. We can just go on. And I don't want to bore you. I'm going to keep moving here. But many are deprived of medical aid. Many are sick and need all kinds of dental and medical help. They don't have the pharmacies, the clinics, and the surgical centers that we do. Many people don't have a way to get rid of germs and bacteria, parasites, bugs, and infections, poison, toxins, and viruses. They just use the same cup over and over. They wash things in the same. It's never sanitized. They don't know what hygiene is. They don't have a way to know some of these things. They have no doctor or dentist to go to as soon as they need. It's a security to us. We know if something happens to us, there's a hospital right down the road and a doctor everywhere. Is that right? You with me? It's amazing the blessings we have, and praise the Lord. I'm not knocking those down. The next one is the right to my private affairs, to regulate my own private affairs as I see. 1 Corinthians says, "Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no meat while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to be offended." Personal rights affect every facet of our life. Self, family, friends, health, reputation, schedule, future plans, money, clothes, music, activities, possessions, and it goes on and on. My private affairs. I have rights. I have rights to appear as I want to. We have this look that somehow we pick up from somewhere, and I have every right to go to the store and pick up just the very shoes I want, the very sweater I want, the very pants, so that my appearance is just as I think it ought to be. We have that right, don't we? We do in America, but many places don't. I have rights to be accepted as an individual, to express opinions, to earn and spend a living, to control my personal belongings, to make decisions. And I expect others to respect my rights and to treat me respectfully. And again, tonight, I'm not after those rights. Hear my heart. I'm wanting us to remember the blessings that we have of God. And I want us to make sure those blessings don't turn into rights that affect our relationship with God and that keep God from putting something in our life that is far more valuable than some of these rights that we fight for. We do, brothers. I haven't even begun on what all I could say here. The right to my own privacy. You know, I have my own private life, and there's no one that has any right into that life in America. It's up to us whether we open that life up to everyone or not. The right to my own privacy. The right, as Mark 6:31 says, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And this is talking about Jesus and His disciples. They gave up their personal freedoms. They didn't eat. I have the right to be left alone. I want nothing or no one to disturb me. I set apart this time, and it is my time. And I'm going to do whatever I want in this time. And that's okay. We need our time. But I want us to think about some of the rights that we tend to have. I have the right to be left alone. I want nothing to disturb me. I'm not up to visitors. They take work. They're bothered. They add to my workload. They take time. And it's really my time. It's really no one else's business what I do with my time, is it? You know, we can look in the Constitution. We find rights to privacy implied in the 1st, 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 9th Amendments. I haven't even scratched the surface. The right to feel superior, but we're going to move on from this really quickly because this isn't the fun part of this message at all in any way. But it's good that we're reminded of our good God and the things He's put in our life. And may we continue to seek Him and put Him first. The right to feel inferior. It's easy to have an exaggerated opinion of ourselves. These opinions are manifested through subtle attitudes and impressions. Freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, right to bear arms. We haven't even begun, brothers and sisters. There are so many blessings. There are so many privileges that we just take for granted in America. And I'm not attacking those. But I want to make sure that we understand how blessed we are. You know, when someone regularly gives you something, you start expecting it. And it's really hard to even be thankful. And you know, that's how we treat God so often. We come to expect it of Him. We almost demand it of Him. That becomes part of what we need to survive. And I'm wanting us to at least thank God for what we have. Our rights before God. So when we come before God, what right do I have? If I've surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, what are my rights? Is it possible that God would infringe on some of those rights? Oh, God would never do that, would He? God would never ask me to lay anything down, would He? God is love. God is love. Listen to Paul here. Listen. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But what things were gained to me, those I counted for loss. I counted loss for the excellency of Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul understood. And you do too. I know you do. I don't have a heart to exhort or even preach at you tonight. I'm just lifting up the blessings that God has blessed us with. God would have us look at these rights and expectations as privileges and blessings that we might or might not receive. You know, life in America in the next 5 years may be different. I think we may not have all of these blessings and privileges we do now. As we continue to seek God, may we have the power to allow Him. May we lay down. We can only hold so much, brothers and sisters. I don't know if you believe this, but sometimes we think we can do it all. But we can only hold so much. And sometimes we have to lay things down in order for God to put better things in our lives. Listen to some of the rewards that we read about here in Hebrews. Our dear brothers and sisters who went before us, and they found eternal rewards, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain at the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should be made perfect. What can we say? We can say no. We can say no to things when there's a bigger yes burning in our heart. A bigger yes. That eternal perspective. Those eternal treasures that we've talked about. As we think of all these things we're discussing, all these blessings, I just had to almost hear God saying this. Why? Why is my house full, but my fields are empty? Who will go and work for me today? Is there anyone that is willing to lay aside these rights, these privileges, and these things and work in the fields that God has for him? I would like to read this account in Luke chapter 16 about the unjust steward. And we'll make just a few comments. But it reminds us, this steward was called to give account. So if you want to read along, it's in Luke chapter 16 verses 1 through 8. We'll just read down through there and share just a few comments. We're going to keep this rather moving here tonight with the Lord's help. This scripture came to me, and it's an interesting story. But there was a steward, and the day came. I'm not sure if the master heard from someone else that, hey, your steward is he's not being upright. I'm not sure what he heard. But the day came when he was called to give account of his stewardship. And I think it does us good to think of that. Luke 16, chapter 1. And he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man, which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship. For thou mayest no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? I'm in a strait here. For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I'm ashamed. I'm resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto them, said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Now here again in this story, reports came to this master that his steward was wasting his goods. I think the master checked into all this and found it to be true, and he dismissed the steward. So I think this is a picture of God. God is the master, and we are the stewards. Is that right? Y'all with me? Is that right, young people? I know you've had a tough week, but stay with me. The steward was dishonest. He had embezzled, misapplied, and carelessly wasted his master's goods. Think about that. What does that say to us? That tells me that we have responsibility to God with the privileges and the blessings that we have. And if we are unjust, if we don't handle these things rightly, I think we'll all appear before Him to give account of our stewardship. He lost his stewardship because of his careless and dishonest embezzlement. I do want to say that Jesus Christ used kind of a shady character here in this story. This unjust steward, he used kind of a shady character. He said this unjust steward had done wisely. How had he done wisely, young people? What was the moral of the story? Anyone? Why did Jesus use this story? What was the point of his story? Why did he say this unjust steward had done wisely? Anyone? Exactly. Because he used the resources he had, and he looked ahead. And so, when this word Lord in verse 8, I don't think it's God. I don't think God is condoning cheating and stealing and embezzlement. I think it's referring to the steward's master. I think the steward's master was amazed that the steward knew he was losing his access to all these things, and he had enough wisdom to try to use these things to prepare for himself. And the point that Christ wants us to get is that we're stewards. There's many blessings. There's so much He's given us, and He wants us to be wise as we use those things. And He wants us to send them up ahead as treasure into heaven. God isn't condoning this steward's shady dealing. I think many people get it mixed up here and confused. It was the unjust steward's Lord that commended him, not necessarily God. But again here, young people, may eternity continue to make our decisions, not the Jones family. Amen? Amen. As the Word of God teaches us in Romans 14, so then every one of us shall give account of God, of himself to God. So we could ask the question, what percent of our resources, our time, our energy, what percent of those are things of ourselves, or our own rights, our own things, what percent of our vessel has the things of God in it? What percent has the things that we want? We could ask that. We all have that to consider. I do it myself. I was just going to tell the young people I remember here, I didn't get this all right. I wouldn't encourage anyone to build a house like I did, young people. They're just some of those things I missed as a young Christian. And I'm not up here preaching at you. I sure don't mean to be. And that way I have a lot to learn myself. Now, Romans 9:21 says, has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same mass or the lump one vessel for beauty and distinction and honorable use, and another for menial or ignoble or dishonorable use? So that's the King. That's actually the Amplified there. I didn't realize that. But so how many of our rights are in our lump? that God is trying to form. He's trying to form a vessel of honor out of our lives. And the thought came to me, how many of our rights does God have to intertwine into this vessel that He's trying to, as a potter, He's trying to form? Have we ever wondered why there's any dishonor in our vessels? Does the potter have any say in the quality of the lump of clay that he is to use? God has good things for us, and He longs to give us, and He's been doing that, and I know you've been receiving them. Praise the Lord. I had to think of Peter here. I had to think of these scriptures. Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, everlasting life." That scripture should have been broken down more. But that Christ is teaching us here that when it's up to us, it's our right. We have this life. We can choose to put in our vessels. We can choose what we want. But I think there's manifold. What does it say here? It says manifold. He shall receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting for those that forsake things for the kingdom of God. I had to think of the voluntary surrender and the self-denial that Christ asks of us causes many to turn away from Him. It's easier to find a religion or go to a church to ask almost nothing of us. Again, our rights before God. Can we remember that God owns all things? Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." Again, is it hard to be thankful? In America, you have to work at being thankful, don't we? We have so much. We really do. We have so much. Yeah, amen. Well, I would like to take us back to Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago. And I realize I didn't have this already here. Back to Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago at a lonely hill out there at Golgotha. And if you'd have been there this day, this is what you'd have heard. You'd have heard. As the innocent one, the guiltless, was nailed to a cross and roughly thrown into a hole, and he was lifted up. And he said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me." The innocent one, the guiltless, the perfect one, what rights did he have? You could have brought a bucket of slop and dumped it over him. And he could have went and got another one. What could he have done? He had no rights. No right to shrink from the cup that God asked him to drink. No right to shrink away from our filthy sin that he hated. He hated sin. No right to complain. He never opened his mouth. He never murdered. No right to defend himself. No right to the comfort of being clothed. He was naked. No right to have anything to eat. No right to his own home or a well-set table full of food. No right to a soft bed. No right to be understood or appreciated, even though he loved and appreciated. He spent his life loving the unlovely. No right to not even be forsaken by God as he hung there. Even God forsook him. He had no right to not even be forsaken by God. No right to ask for sympathy. No right even to his own tomb. He was sold and betrayed. He had one right, and that was to die. To die. How about you and I? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Young people, today, everyone alive has rights. Anyone can walk up to Christ and spit on him and curse him and turn their backs and walk away. We have that right. We also have the right to grasp him and make him our Lord and our Savior and our King. And I just want to encourage you, young people, anyone here tonight that hasn't reached out and put their life in Christ. Your life in Christ, you have that right. You have that privilege. We're living in the day of grace. We all have the opportunity to come and receive and take him as our Lord and Savior and as our God. As our God. As he hangs there, these words, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. This day is salvation come to this house. Words of Christ. This day we have the right to receive Christ in all of his fullness. Oh, if there's anyone here that has not done that, please don't leave without Christ. We have no promise. We have no promise of any other opportunity. So, how do my rights, Christ's rights, he is my only right. He's the one right before which all other rights flee. Christ. Christ has been amazing to us this week, young people. He's done amazing things in our lives. And I just bless you for reaching out to him and drawing strength from him and worshiping him and all that you've done. Again, we have full right to him, but more importantly, may he have full right to each one of us. May we completely offer ourselves to him. May he have full right into each of our lives. May you go forth in power and in the might of God. He sendeth you. Young people, we just love you. We bless you. We thank God for your lives, and we will continue to pray. We just pray that the world can continue to be turned upside down and that the world can be changed by your lives. The Lord's blessings to you.